Now starting. So that, if you're listening to the recording, it'll be short. excuse me, I don't know what it is. I've had my cup of Singaporean coffee already. So, in Luke chapter 5, we find this man, not only does he have leprosy, he is full of leprosy. And before God can use you, he wants you to give a full accounting of your sin. Have you done that? You know, I don't know if you play cards. I've lost a lot of money this week at the pastor's house. I'm sorry. It wasn't money, maybe just pride. The girls have beat us terrible in cards. Well, it's rook. It's not really gambling cards. But I think I'd rather lost money than the pride. The girls just wearing us out. But you know, sometimes when we play these cards, right? And you and I play that with God. We kind of lay that down and see if He'll take that. God wants a full accounting. He wants you to lay down all your cards. Have you ever acknowledged your sinfulness before Him? You know, sometimes we confess our sins, but we're not giving a full accounting. It's not a full tale. God wants you to be full in your confession to Him. Have you confessed your sins to Him prior to and following salvation? Do we sin every day? Just get over it. Just get used to it. Don't get comfortable with it, but realize that you and I are going to fail God every day. God wants to use you in a great way. And you say, well, how can that happen if I'm continually failing? He's wanting to continually make you aware of you can't and He can. So don't fear, don't run from, don't try to avoid, don't deny the existence of trouble and trials in your life. God's just trying to purify your faith. Another accounting there, if you're taking your notes, is Luke chapter 16, verse 20. You know the story of Lazarus. The Bible says he was laid at the gate there, and the notation is he was full of sores. God has put these people in the Scriptures so that you'll be able to identify them. When you are overcome with life's trials and cares and sorrows and adversities, take heart, because there is a God who brings full and complete healing. Now, there's something else that God gives to us, and the purpose is to empower you for your life and your service. God's gift of His Holy Spirit is without measure. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, we have the example of our Lord. I think every word in the Bible is important. I think the order of Scriptures are important. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, we find Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Was Jesus God? Absolutely. Was He sinless? Absolutely. He is going to go into a period of great trial and adversity when He is physically weak. And the Bible just makes this notation, and Jesus being full of the Spirit. That should be normal and natural for us. It shouldn't just be an achievement or a peak, a high point during a religious service or a revival meeting. I'm full of the Spirit. That needs to be a norm for us. God does not give you His Spirit by halves. Are you living your life in the fullness of God's Spirit? What do you think that means? You've probably heard the illustration. To be full of God's Spirit doesn't mean necessarily that you need more of the Spirit, but maybe that God needs more of you. Is there any part of your life, of your heart, of your mind? Are there any rooms in your mind that you've closed and locked the door? Said, Lord, that's okay. You don't need to go in there. A lot of people do that, don't they? Some people try to serve God from the recesses of a room in their heart, and they kind of slip something under the door for the Lord. Some people do that with their finances, you know, the bank of your life regarding finances. You don't really want to let the Lord manage the office. You don't let Him dwell in you richly, fully in that area. You're not full of His Spirit. Your relationships, any number of avenues in your life, make sure that they are governed by His Spirit. in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, when we understand the importance of being filled with God's Spirit on a personal level. We see the example that Jesus himself was filled with the Spirit. But ladies and gentlemen, in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, every aspect of the local church, all of the ministries of this church, everything that's done here, the music, the teachers, all the activities, if you have any role as a leader in your home, a leader of your children, every part needs to be by Spirit-filled believers. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So God gives the fullness of His Spirit for the practical day-to-day living of your life. And of course, who would question that God wants this church, Heritage Baptist Church, to be run, governed, managed, overseen by godly, Spirit-filled people? I think it's interesting here. He said, look out among you and choose seven. I don't think that was a hard search in that, well, let's see, who could be filled with... I think it was difficult in the fact that hopefully everybody's full of the Spirit of God, and we're going to choose seven reasonable, reliable, responsible people to govern in those affairs. But, you know, it's not all just about going to church and living your life. Turn on over. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 on through chapter 7. You need to be full of God's Spirit in your life, because one of these days will be your last day on this earth if Jesus tarries, and you're going to need to have that fullness of God's Spirit to face your death. Acts chapter 6, we find this man, Stephen. In his day-to-day life, Stephen, verse 5 of Acts 6, says Stephen was a man, what? Full of faith in the Holy Ghost. How do you get this? Talking about this fullness of faith and fullness of God's Spirit. Well, we mentioned earlier today, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the man. That's awesome. Have you ever wondered why it's such a battle to read your Bible? The devil will give you a million other things to read, look at, watch, do, go. Why? Because that's your source. That's your source of faith. Without faith, it is. It's impossible to please God. So we should guard jealously this life. Here was a man who was full of faith. What does that mean? He was full of God's Word on a day-to-day, practical, ministry-oriented life. Chapter 6, verse 3. What we saw, first of all, he was full of faith. That was part of his character, of his being. But then in his day-to-day living, in the practical outworking of that faith, we find him the same. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Have you ever found it hard sometimes to identify with Bible characters? They're kind of like, you know, and we're just kind of, Lao Bai Xing, he bind the Putong Ren, you know. Mayo from her, Mayo from the Pubiet. Right? There's a fine line, there's a balance there between an inferiority complex and a superiority complex, right? You know, an inferiority complex, you're just a slave to everyone else's expectation. You get this superiority complex, you're proud and you're not worth shooting, you know? Stephen had a good balance. He was full of the Holy Spirit and power, and he did great wonders. Not for wonder's sake, but he was just pliable in the hands of the Holy Spirit of God. Have you ever wondered what on earth God could do with you? You know, we come together, like hearing Luke over here, that drives me nuts. How does he do that? We just kind of hum a little bit for him, and he's over here, oh, got it. You got it? There's no music score over there, but he's got it. What a blessing. It's a great blessing. Each one of you have a unique skill set. Character qualities, traits, that God, in the hands of God, He can do great things with you. Without His fullness, no, we'll live a life of mediocrity. Well, when I go to these hawker centers and get some of that food, I don't want mediocre food. We had curry and roti prata the other day. Don't give me mama hoo hoo that. Right? I want the real deal. God's not going to give you ma-ma hoo-hoo of himself. He's going to give you the very best. It's important that we be the right kind of people. It's important that we live the right kind of life. But probably your death is an opportunity to make one of your greatest statements of your faith in Christ. I'm not really looking forward to that. It's like your pastor's father said, the way I want to die is like this. You just wake up one morning and, oh, you're dead. That works for me. I do not have a very good threshold for pain. I don't do pain. Chocolate, coffee, I do that, but I don't do pain. Stephen, didn't go quite so well for Stephen. Chapter 7, verse 55. When you are faced, and what could you think of that would be more terrifying, more unknown, more scary than death, than dying? There's some horrible ways to die. I would think drowning would be horrible. Just think about that. Or burning to death? You know, you probably have people you know that have fought battles with cancer. Radiation, chemotherapy. It's like, Lord, what's going on? The people die prolonged, painful deaths. Just, you know, how can you do that? I'll tell you how you do it. You die just like you live. True. Stephen lived a life full of the Spirit of God. Chapter 7, verse 55, he died the same way. He, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he prays and he says, oh Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Here he is forgiving a great and grievous sin. Sin of murder. He's forgiving his killers. He's praying for them. That's awesome. That's really amazing. You and I need to choose carefully how we're going to live, because one of these days that life is over, probably suddenly, probably unannounced, without warning. It's too late then to scramble and try to get your devotional life in order and get your prayer life in order and get your house in order. You may well not have an advance warning. I mentioned the other day, one of the greatest gifts you can give to your family is the rock solid, confident assurance that you love the Lord, that you're saved, that you're ready to meet your Heavenly Father. What a priceless gift to give to them. So, why is this important? Why is God going to load your life, load your little cart, load your wagon down with trouble? He wants to purify you. He wants to purify your faith. Don't run from adversity. Embrace it. Find the fullness of God's power that comes with that bucket full of trouble. You'll find Him more than sufficient. And then for your life of living for the Lord, your day-to-day life, know the power of the fullness of God's Spirit. Every one of us can leave here today filled with God's Spirit. And that filling's for a purpose. It's not just a walk around sloshing. But that we talk about the Spirit of God, it's power. It's power to live. It's a catalyst. It's an energy to do the right thing. You walk out of here, before you get outside, your mind will be barraged and assaulted with a million and one things that very quickly could lead you into unbelief or lust or, you know, one of a million things, right? So take the power of God's fullness in His Spirit and enjoy this life. It's wonderful. John chapter 15. It's not only an energy, a power, a catalyst that will enable you to see things happen and accomplish things for God's glory, but the pure joy, just 100% unmitigated, unmixed joy. Joy is a delightful gift for God's people. John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Roll on over to John 16. God says, I want my joy to remain in you. Regardless of all of these troubles that may come, the adversities that you may face, do not ever think for a moment that God has less for you than a full measure of joy. I got to tell you this. When we went to Hong Kong, went back to the university there to study and had the privilege of teaching in a Bible institute. And that's where I first met my Filipino sisters in Christ. What a crew. What a crew. They share their testimonies. And with a smile on their face and joy in their voice, and they'd weep. They may share an adversity, a hardship, and you just marvel, like, man, how are they standing? How are they going on? But a constant recurring theme in their testimony was the joy of Jesus. What a gift. You know, I start whining. I complain and I question. I'm a wimp. I'm a real wuss. But those dear ladies challenged me, and there I was supposed to be the Bible professor. Undercover. But by the time they got through teaching me, I hope that I've learned from them joy. Joy in the midst of adversity. John 16:24, Jesus said, "Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Asking you shall receive, that your joy may be full." What? How do you get joy? Ask for it. You can't buy it at the store. What was that? We went to this shopping mall the other day. Brother Dave, what was that? Takamikahakahoma. I don't remember the name of that. I told Melody, said, "Where are we going?" I said, "It's a Japanese department store, but it sounds like tiramisu." I do that. I'm kind of a food person, in case you haven't noticed. It's a tiramisu, takamika, shushu, or something. But listen, they got everything in there. Well, everything but joy. I didn't see any joy for sale. And, man, there were several floors, and I think we went on every one of them. There was no peace for sale. And no love. Stuff's not for sale. And you've heard the illustration, I'm sure. Why? Why is it not for sale? Because if you had to pay for it, nobody could afford it. Right. It's so priceless. It's a free gift. God said, "Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and receive, that your joy might be full." Why on earth would you settle for less than a full measure of God's joy? Isn't that great? John 17:13 is excellent. Not only does God encourage you to ask for His joy, He has given us His joy through His Word, through asking Him. But in John 17:13, when Jesus is praying, I love this verse. "Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have," check that out, "my joy fulfilled in themselves." You know, it's like Jesus, when He talked about peace, He said, "Peace I live with you. My peace give I unto you." Not as the world give. God gives you His peace. The same peace that Jesus had when He's struggling with the cross and prospect of dying on the cross. And He said, "Oh Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." That's awesome. That's awesome power. That's awesome peace. Do you have that kind? And what about joy? When you talk about the joy of Jesus, that little "of," it doesn't just mean joy from Him. It's His joy. It's the same joy Jesus had. John 17:13. "My joy fulfilled in themselves." Whew. That makes you lightheaded just thinking about it. I mean, that's better than a pound of peanut M&Ms, folks. That's some serious stuff. Are you a joyless Christian? Are you kind of on again, off again? Don't do it. Have the courage to ask God and by faith receive His joy. Very quickly, in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Full measures. Nothing by halves. God does nothing halfway. He is an awesome first class God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 28. For all the fullness of it, I tell you this, in our Christian life, there's only so much we can enjoy down here. You know, the Lord told Moses, no man can see my face and live. You know, he hid Moses in the cleft of the rock, and as he passed by and he saw the hinder part of the Lord. You and I realize that when I talk about this full measure of all these good things, it's not nothing like it's going to be in heaven. We'd pop. We'd bust down here. Until this body has put on immortality, you know what I'm saying? And you see this here in Acts chapter 2, verse 28. It says, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. As good as it could possibly be down here, folks, it's not going to compare with that glorious day when you and I see Jesus face to face. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When in rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Are you kidding me? It gets even better. As good as it gets down here, it's nothing compared to what it's going to be very soon. Don't you believe the Lord's coming soon? I do. So why is He just chalking us full with all this cool stuff down here for right now? Because He's got something for us to do. God just does not want us, you know, these helium balloons. Boy, fill them balloons up and you tie them down. Boy, they're just up there bopping around in the air. That's not why God fills you with His joy. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. There is a full measure of joy that God wants you to have that will carry you through life's trials and life's adversities until He comes for you. Hebrews chapter 6 and then 2 John verse 1. Just want to look at a couple things here. We desire, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. I'm telling you that this message is not just for an elite few people. God does not have a pyramid of success for spiritual giants to struggle and pray until somebody gets on top and waves the flag and says, dun-da-da. Okay? The ladder of success is for everyone. It's a plateau. We talk about the ground is level at the cross. He says here, I want every one of you to be diligent to achieve this full assurance of hope to the end. And that's my prayer for each one of you. We're not just dangling something out for a high roller, you know, for some super spiritual giant to say, yes, that's for me. And the rest of us sit back and go, oh, brother so-and-so's got it. Sister so-and-so's done it. It's for every one of you. We're all at different levels in our spiritual walk with Christ, but He will give you that full measure of His joy. 2 John chapter 1, verse 8. There's a great incentive found here. There's a great motivation. It's not only for this life and to walk through your life facing its trials, facing its adversity, with God's fullness of joy, but beyond the pale of the grave. In 2 John 1, verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. I tell you, to obtain and to hold this joy, maintaining your focus. Folks, there's a reward coming. We spoke briefly of the judgment. We closed our Sunday school class this morning, the certainty of a coming judgment. It's going to be full. It's going to be dreadful. Only those who have hidden themselves in Christ and covered with His blood will escape the judgment to come. For those who have done so, there's a full reward. What are you looking forward to? You know, it makes our lives seem kind of squirrely, doesn't it? Kind of silly. All this, boy, man, I'm going to take that money down there to the bank and good lands are going to give me 1.6% interest. Oh, that's cool. Well, it's just, isn't it wild here in Singapore? You spend all this money, buy a car. In 10 years, you know it's going to the junk heap, baby. Well, that's encouraging. You know what I'm saying? Man, we go buy all this stuff. You go buy some new clothes. After about a day, got to wash that puppy, don't you? It gets stinky. Now we go out and spend all this money in food. Oh, boy, we eat it and eat it and eat it. And it keeps us full for about 30 minutes, and then we're looking for the next coffee shop. You know, we're just spending our lives. We're in this mindless pursuit to acquire and obtain all this stuff, and it's so temporary. It's so fleeting. So passing. But there's a full reward waiting God's people. What's God going to reward us for? Being faithful to our families, men? Amen, absolutely. God rewards and honors wise moral choices. Faithfulness. There's a reward for that. There's a reward in heaven for being a good steward over the resources that God has given to you. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise and will shine as the stars forever. You may not feel that you would be so adventurous and ambitious as to be a soul winner, to have a train of people behind you in heaven's gate. And as was so well put earlier today, it's not our job to win souls. That's God's work. But we have the privilege of being a witness for Him. I cannot think of anything that I treasure more than the brothers and sisters in Christ that I've had the privilege of being there present when they came to Christ. That is an experience I would not trade for anything. As I mentioned earlier, Melody and I have been blessed with 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls. She did all the work, but I got to be there. And I got to tell you, to be there in that room when those children are brought into the world, that's awesome. And as nothing gives a parent greater joy than the new life, I think nothing gives God greater pleasure than to see men and women, boys and girls, saved. The Bible says heaven rejoices, the angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. So what are we waiting for? Full of life's troubles, yeah, welcome to the club. Welcome to humanity. Welcome to life. Don't be distracted by all of those things. Grasp, lay hold today of the full measure of faith, joy, power, presence of God's Spirit, and go out and be encouraged today. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Ephesians 3:19 says, to know the love of Christ, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I think as we would close this time at our conference, I believe that's the key to having a heart for the harvest. If I could wrap up everything that we said here, it's those 3 words, love of God. Well, we need more of it, don't we? I need to love more than I do. My little love basket is not very big. It's not very deep. But the love of God, Paul said, constrains us. That's our motivation. That's our incentive. That's our catalyst. And as I take leave of you here this afternoon, my prayer is that you would come to know the fullness of the love of God, and know that I will be praying for you as you enter into this new year of missions giving, that God will bless you in a great way. Pastor.